right here. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. This is Blue Moon City, not Blue Man City. Dag nabbit.
Welcome to the Board Games with Scott podcast. This is just the audio from the Board Games with Scott videos. To see the full videos, head over to www.boardgameswithscott.com.
Hi there. Welcome to Board Games with Scott. This is a regular video series where I take a game and explain it and review it. My goal is to help you decide if it's a game you might want to purchase. This week we're going to take an adventure into Blue Moon City. Blue Moon City is developed by Rainer Knizia and is published here in the U.S. by Fantasy Flight and was originally published in Germany by Cosmos. It's for 2 to 4 players, takes about an hour to play. If you haven't played it before, it'll probably take longer, more about 90 minutes. If you have played it, it'll take actually less time as you get used to the cards. Now, there is another game that's out there that's called Blue Moon. And Blue Moon is a 2-player card game that's a combat card game. This is a very different game than Blue Moon. So just because you may like or don't like Blue Moon, don't write off Blue Moon City. It's a completely different game. The story here is that in Blue Moon City, the battles of Blue Moon have finished, and so now we're trying to rebuild Blue Moon City. So it's got the world of Blue Moon and the races that are involved with Blue Moon, but it's a completely different type of game. It's a game about clever card play and planning and being tricky in order to do well. So, why don't we open up this box and see the components that are inside. So what do you get with Blue Moon City? Well, you get a lot of nice components, and that's something that Fantasy Flight has been doing with a lot of their games recently, is giving you high-quality components. You get a big rule book, and you may start reading it, and it takes you forever to read the first 2 pages, and you think, oh my gosh, how many more pages are there? But actually, the rules end after just this second page. And then here you've got an example, and then you've got some pages of backstory behind the game. You get these big bulky tiles, and so instead of having a board for the game, you've got tiles. And what you do with these tiles is you end up making the board out of these tiles. So the game is different each time you play because of where you've put the tiles. You then have this mighty rocket ship of doom. Wait, no, sorry. It's the Crystal Tower. And what you're doing is, during the game, you're attempting to rebuild this tower. And the player who rebuilds most of this tower actually wins the game. So this is what the most important bit in the game. You've got these little cardboard chits to represent crystals that you pick up during the game, and other cardboard chits that represent dragon scales, which you pick up, which are from these dragons, these little rubbery, plasticky dragons, which actually came out of, also were used in the Blue Moon card game. Of course, this scale is not to scale from the dragon scale. Anyway, you've got wooden blocks, like any other wooden block game, and little playing pieces that are pretty neat, and they've got purple, which is always an exciting thing to see in a game. And then the cards, and this is the heart of the game, are these cards. Now, the cards, just like the Blue Moon card game, are fairly lavishly illustrated with pictures of people from the different races. And all that's really important about the card, actually, is just this little information right at the top. So you've got big, pretty picture and little bit of information on the card. Oh, well. So when you're playing the game, you're really just going to be looking at this little bit of top information on the card. And all the card colors do different things in the game. And I'll explain about that in the next section, which is flow of play. So this is the goal of the game. What you're going to be attempting to do is rebuild this crystal tower. And the way it works is there are numbers on these squares. So at the bottom here, they say 7. And in order to place a cube on one of these little numbers, you have to spend 7 crystals. The first 4 people get in for 7, and then it goes up to 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. The goal of the game is to be the first person to build 4 pieces of the tower, as indicated by having 4 cubes on 4 of these spaces. And that's how you win the game. So everything else we do is leading toward this goal. And that's my number one strategy tip. Don't forget, this is the goal of the game. All of the rest of the stuff is just leading you to this. So focus on this. In order to get those crystals, you're going to help rebuild the city. And you're going to try to garner support from the different races in order to help rebuild things. So what you see here at the beginning are all the plans drawn out by the architects. And then you're going to try and bring people together to help rebuild components. The way your turn works is you're going to move. You could move 1 space or 2 spaces. You can't move diagonally, so you move fairly slowly around the board. And then you can play cards to help rebuild the city. So if you want to help rebuild this city, it's black. And so in order to put one of your cubes here to say I'm rebuilding that component, you would have to discard 5 points worth of black cards. Now, many of these cards have little special symbols in the middle. I'll talk about those later. So I discard those five to play that there. I could also discard these, a one and a two, to play another one of my cubes on the three. So that lets me, I can do that all in one turn. I move one or two spaces, then I build as much as I'd like on a space based upon the cards I'm willing to get rid of. You don't have to build from left to right. You can go in and build one, two, or all three if you'd like. And then another player on their turn can move in and can build the final space. Now, when the building is complete, then it gives rewards. And the rewards are indicated by what's on the top of all these tiles. Here's the way you read it. The bottom reward over here on the left-hand side goes to any player that contributed at least one cube. So in this case, both white and blue would get three crystals. The top award with the little star by it indicates that the player that contributed the most gets a bonus. So in this case, the player who contributed the most would get a bonus, two crystals. So if this were the case, white would get five crystals and blue would get three crystals. Now, if this were the situation and everyone had contributed one, then white and purple and blue would all get three crystals. And then the player, if it's a tie, the player who has a cube to the left, who basically put their cube on the most expensive space, is going to end up breaking that tie. So there's an advantage to getting there early and playing. You could play just one on the most expensive one. Someone else would have to come along and play two, which they could, and you'd still get paid a little bit, or you could guarantee it by playing two and wait for someone else to come along and finish it off for you. You don't have to be sitting on the space when it's completed to get the reward. On a future turn, if white moved down here and did something else, and then blue came in and completed it, then it would still finish up. White would still win the big award because white has two out of the three, and blue would get the award for participating. Once you've finished it, then you flip over the tile. And it has a picture of the completed city. Now notice it's got something else. It's got some symbols. This has the symbols of three crystals. What this does is adds to the reward for everyone that contributes to each of the adjacent buildings. So what that did, in effect, anyone that comes here and contributes now gets four crystals, one plus three. And the person who contributes the most gets one of these dragon scales. And those are cumulative. If this one was finished, then it would also be two cards added to the reward for everyone that contributes there. Now notice there's only one box, so only one person will get all these awards, and they'll also get the first place award. The impact that this has in the game is people tend to rebuild the city in chunks because once you rebuild one, it makes the one next to it more attractive, and then that makes the next one more attractive. So you sort of have this flow of rebuilding as the game goes on. It also raises the award for anyone that participates, so it encourages more people to play along. Now the things that you're getting from the cards, again, are crystals, cards, and dragon scales. Again, the first row is for the person who builds the most. And this symbol over here is showing you what's on the back, so you can do some planning ahead. But this is going to be the reward for when this card is finished. Now notice that these are a little different. These can be fulfilled by any color card, but they have to be the same color card used in a box. So I could use four blue to fill that box, or four yellow, or four red, or four black, but I can't mix it up for a box. An important note, you aren't allowed to use leftover points from one build on another build. So if I'm building two sets, I have to have the cards in separate piles. So that would let me build a set of three and four, or a set of five and two. So that's going to be the main way you get crystals, is by helping to rebuild. And then, in order to help build the big tower, you'll move back to the middle. And when you're there, you can rebuild one piece on the tower, again, just by paying the amount that's on there and putting down a cube. And that's the goal of the game, so you want to run around and get crystals. Now let me talk about the dragon scales. You're going to collect the dragon scales throughout the game. There are only a limited number of these, and it depends upon the number of players. For four players, you use 15 dragon scales. When the last dragon scale is taken from the pot, then you score them immediately. The way it works is you look to see who has the most dragon scales. In this case, the blue player has five dragon scales. The player with the most dragon scales gets six crystals. Any player that has at least three dragon scales gets three crystals. Any player with fewer than three dragon scales gets no crystals. Then any player that got paid loses all their dragon scales, So while this player didn't get crystal payoff, they've got two dragon scales going into the next dragon scale competition. And you'll go through this as many times as it takes throughout the game, however often you go through the pile of dragon scales. One thing to note, if two players are tied, each one only gets three crystals, but they still lose all of their scales. Now you may be wondering, how do you get these dragon scales? Well, I've talked about one way, and that's through the bonuses in some of the building. But there's another way. If you're on a tile, and the dragon is there as well, and watches you build, then the dragon will give you a dragon scale. So if you move onto a space, and there's a dragon there, and you build, when the dragon sees you, you get one dragon scale. If there are two dragons there, and they see you, they each give you a dragon scale. So there are three dragons in the game, so you could get up to three scales in a turn. If you go to another space where the dragons are there and you build two blocks, you don't get two scales. You only get one scale because the dragon sees you helping along, so even if you built both of those, you'd only get the one scale from this dragon. So earlier I mentioned that the cards have numbers, which you're going to use to rebuild the city, but the cards also have special abilities. And generally, you can use the card either for the value or for the special ability. Now notice that there's cards in 3, 2, 1 of each race. And the 3s have no special ability, because they're a more valuable card in rebuilding. The 2s and the 1s have a special ability, and the 1s are usually a more powerful version of the special ability than the 2s. So, you may be asking, how do I move the dragons about? Well, you use some of these cards. The 1s let you move the blue, green, or red dragon anywhere on the board. These are also the way that you introduce the dragons at the start of the game. When the game starts, they're off the board, and the only way to bring them on is through playing a 1 of the dragon color. The 2s let you move the dragon 3 spaces, because there's 3 little arrows. The 3s don't let you move the dragon at all. And again, you have to move the dragon of the color of the card that it's on. So the black cards move the red dragon, the reds move the green dragon, and the blues move the blue dragon. The gray cards make it easier for you to move your pawn around the board. Again, the gray 3 doesn't have a special symbol, it's got no special ability. The gray 2 has 2 arrows, so it lets you move your pawn an additional 2 spaces. The gray 1 has a little jump, which indicates you can move your pawn to any space on the board. Now notice in your turn, you first move your pawn, and then you play cards. So you can't use these to get another move after you've built. The greens are all a value of 1, and they're wild. So they can be used in combination with other colors, so that would be worth 4 points of black if you wanted it to be that way. The browns, again, a 3-2-1. The 3 has no special ability. The 2s and the 1s have the same special ability. If you turn in 2 brown cards with this symbol at the top, then it's worth 3 points of any color. So 2 browns, so that would be acceptable, or that would be acceptable. This would not, because that 3 doesn't have the special symbol. 2 browns with the same special symbol at the top lets you turn it in for 3 points of any color. Now the white cards are pretty tricky. Again, the white 3 doesn't help you do anything special. The white 2, on the other hand, lets you turn the color of another card into the color of your choosing. For example, if I wanted to do 4 gray, and this is what I had in my hand, then I have 1 gray, and then I can use this guy to make this into 3 gray. So it's a total of 4 gray. This allows you to turn up to 4 cards of one color into another color. So, for example, this would let me have 6 points of another color. Now here's the trick. Earlier I talked about the fact that you have to use a batch of cards for each cube. I couldn't use this to put down a cube in, say, a 4 and a 2, because I have 6 points. Instead, each batch of cards has to be separate. So again, these cards let you change the color of other cards. They don't count for points themselves. They're used up. Their power was used in changing the colors of other cards. The gold cards are very important, and they're used in actually winning the game. The gold cards are involved with the rocket ship. Now, again, the 3 gold card has no special symbol, so it's just 3 points of gold. The gold cards allow you to build extra cubes on the crystal tower. And so what you're going to do is normally when you build on the crystal tower, you move into the crystal tower space, and you may build a single cube by spending the crystals. This one allows you to build an extra cube, but you have to pay an extra crystal in addition to the regular cost. So for example, if I wanted to build on the spaces with 7 and 7, then I could do that. I could play this card, and I could pay 15 crystals. 7 for the first, plus 1, 8 for the second. This card is the same thing. It lets you build an extra cube on the tower, but you have to pay an extra 2 crystals for that second placement. So if I were doing that here, again, it'd be 7 for the first and 9 for the second. I can play multiples of these in order to build 3 cubes in a turn if I have enough crystals. And again, you know, the cost will just be as listed on here. And remember, with a 4-player game, the goal is just to get 4 cubes on here. So these cards are very important in helping you win the game more quickly. Let's see if you can figure out this puzzle. Here's the situation. You can see this tile has one open space on the 5. A gray 5 is what is needed. You've moved on to there, and if you can build 1 cube on the gray 5 space, you'll get the reward and the reward for first place because you'll built here. However, your hand has no gray in it. Can you figure out how to manipulate these cards to get 5 points of gray? Did you figure it out? So this guy can be one of anything, so there's 1 point of gray. These two together make 3 of anything, so that's 4 points of gray. He allows you to change the card of another color to something else, so he'll turn this gold card into a gray card. So that is 5 points of gray, which lets you put a cube there and then do the happy dance because you're mighty. Yay! So, now that you know all of this, the general flow of play is you move 0, 1, or 2 spaces, and you may play a gray card to affect that movement. Then you play cards that allow you to bring the dragons into your space, and then you may build something. And if you build, then you put cubes down, and once it's built, if it's completed, then you flip it over and pay out awards. At the end of your turn, you can discard 0, 1, or 2 cards, and then you will draw 2 cards plus the number of cards that you discarded. So, after each turn, you will get somewhere between 2 and 4 cards. So that's it for the game. It's a racing game at its heart. You're running about the board, getting crystals, getting scales, which help you get crystals, bringing the crystals to the middle, and contributing the crystals to the mighty Crystal Tower. And that's Blue Moon City. And that, my friends, is the City of the Blue Moon. So what do I think about this game? Well, I'll be honest. At the beginning, I really liked this game. My first few plays, I felt it was exciting. I was exploring all these new card combinations. It's lavishly produced, so it's pretty to play with. There was a level of excitement. And what I found is the more I've played the game, the excitement has kind of gone away because I've gotten used to the mechanisms, used to the mechanics. And now it's become more of an analytical game. And so what I found is that the sort of laughing and jovial nature that was there in my early plays of the game kind of disappear. And so that my later plays of the game, we've all been just sort of quiet, sitting around the table, thinking about what to do. So you have to decide what you think about that. If you enjoy sort of a fast-paced, kind of chaotic game, you'll enjoy this experience the first few times. If you enjoy a more thoughtful game, a more analytical game, where you're all trying to optimize the cards you have and do the most with few moves, then you'll like this game after you've figured it all out. But you should know that this game changes character after a few plays. What's my grade for the game? I'd give it an A-. Again, I wish it didn't change character so much as you played along, but the nature of it is that if you're playing with people that know what they're doing, you have to optimize your moves. You have to be thinking in advance. You have to be planning things out and becomes much more of a thinking game. So hopefully that helps you decide if it's a game that would be appealing to you. And that's my goal here. Thank you for joining me this week. If you head over to BoardGamesWithScott.com, you'll see many more game explanations and reviews and help you decide what you may want to add to your own collection. There's a DVD you can purchase or a place to make a donation if you want to help out the show. So with that, I'll thank you and I will see you another week here on Board Games with Scott. Farewell.
Board Games with Scott is under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Scott can be reached at scott@scottnicholson.com.
Welcome to Board Games with Scott. This is a video series where I take a game, explain it, review it, and my goal is to help you decide if it's a game you might want to purchase. This week we're taking an adventure into